ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we're going to get into all kinds of different things. The lunacy of the NFL COVID policy. Great article kind of showing the problems from Armando Salguera on OutKick. Really good article, just detailing the hypocrisy of what's going on in the NFL right now. We'll talk about that. I've been kind of kicking this around, and we'll figure out how to do it. We're going to try to start it today. What it is, it's the biggest question marks or questions that you have with regard to the upcoming college football season. So how this goes will be like this. I'm going to ask Jared a question. He's going to answer that question, then ask me one back. But what would be even more fun would be for you guys to get involved and ask us your biggest questions. I wrote down a few from the Big 12. I wrote down one nationally. And so that's what we'll do here between now and next Friday, heading into the college football opener. We'll kind of take a part of the day each day probably to do this and just kind of ask some questions about where your head is thinking about the upcoming college football season. Then on Friday, week from Friday, what would that be? 9-3?
Mm-hmm.
September 3rd. We'll go through and kind of make our picks. Conference champs, playoff.
Cool, I like it.
National champs. So maybe this can kind of help head that way with the different questions. And we'll ask each other, but it'd be a lot more fun to see where you guys are at. So you can fire your questions off at the text line 225-9698. Scheduling Alliance was announced, not really Scheduling Alliance, just the Alliance was announced yesterday. Not sure what it accomplished, if anything, but to me, the biggest news coming out of that was the Pac-12 Commissioner Kliavkov. Is that how we've decided to say his name?
I don't know.
George Kliavkov. We go with George Kliavkov. He said before the end of the week, the Pac-12 will announce, I don't think he's going to announce teams, but I think he will announce expansion decision, yay or nay.
Oh, okay.
And so
I've read pretty good sources that it's already a yay.
To piggyback off that, I've got some sound.
Probably from the same thing.
From Dave Wanstead.
Yeah.
Talking about this very issue. So we'll tell you about what happened there. Also, some other news around college football that was announced yesterday. LSU, if you want to go watch the Bayou Bengals this year, you're going to have to prove you've been vaccinated or have a negative test within 72 hours. Ohio State has made the move to require, they're mandating vaccines to students, teachers, all of that, which is what it is. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. That app has all things Paragon Communications with three radio stations here at Elk City. You've got the Penny News in the app. You can check out the deals online, thepennynews.com. Brand new edition of that Penny News dropped on the website last night at midnight. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Big Elk's Friday night opener against Pampa. We're going to have a couple of guests the next 2 days to talk high school football. 9:30 tomorrow, Mark Rogers is going to join us. And then at 9:30 on Friday, John Lee, who is the editor of the Pampa News, to preview the Elks and the Harvesters there just a few hours ahead of the kickoff. So lots of high school football coming up the next couple of days here on the show. We've got the Skinny on Sports podcast. miss the show entirely, you can go back and catch it at kadsam.com. You can find it there. You can also find it on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and find it, you might as well subscribe, and then you're alerted when the new podcast drops. You can also find that on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Just wonderful. How are you doing today?
A little distracted. I took my last sip of coffee, and there was something in it.
Like what?
I don't know, and I had to spit it right back into my cup.
I thought I saw you almost.
And I'm trying to figure out what it is. So something solid. I thought that a fly in my coffee, and I didn't know it, and I almost drank a fly, but that's not it. So I'm trying not to puke on air.
I wasn't sure that you weren't going to.
I was like, oh, last sip of coffee, let's get it going. Then I felt it. Oh, what is that? My immediate response, you ever do that? And you're like, that's not supposed to be there. What do? You spit it right back out. I'm real curious. I can't see it because of the, it's coffee. You can't see all the way through coffee, but I know something's there. I'm afraid to find out what it is.
It might be a good sign that you need to clean your coffee cup.
I clean it. After every show, I go down the hall and I clean it. And then I take it to my office and I set it aside,
right,
ready for the next day. I don't let coffee just sit in there and dry up on the bottom of... No, I go and I rinse it out. Every once in a while, I'll drop a little Dawn in there, and I clean it. So there's no telling. I'm about to question the person who made the coffee this morning. What was in there?
Do we know who that was?
Well, it's safe to assume that Nathan did the first batch, right?
Correct.
But then, that usually goes pretty quick between Nathan and Landry. So
yes.
By the time the second round of people get here, they have to make a second batch.
It's clear who to blame.
I know.
What if it's what if it's one of his fingers? What if it's part of one of his fingers?
Oh.
We might actually hear Jared vomit on air.
That's gross. Come on. We need to quickly move on from this. Hey, good get, Mark Rogers tomorrow.
Yeah, Mark tomorrow, yeah. John Lee on Friday. I think John joined us last year.
Yeah, he was great.
Ahead of headed out to the Pampa Buck City game.
We'll give him advice as much as we can. He gave us great advice on where to eat.
That's right.
We'll tell him where to go over here.
Yeah, we'll have to.
So listen, restaurant owners, if you want us to promote your restaurant on air, there's still time to jump into a quick sponsorship.
It's funny. I was actually thinking about this already for that reason right there. And I decided, well, you know what? The tailgate around the stadium is about as safe as we can be.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually some good vendors that show
up
there.
Just don't know which ones it's going to be tomorrow, but there's always some good food.
There's always
there.
A couple, I think, that are consistently there. I think so.
We'll probably get that information between now and Friday.
But we're always so busy. We usually get, we can say McDonald's. They're a sponsor of our broadcast. They bring us stuff at halftime, but
it's
hard to eat when you're talking. Now, my kids are pros at it, but we can't. It's hard to, they bring a lot of food, too.
Yes.
You know, not just mini cheeseburgers. They bring tons of nuggets and big whatever the specialty sandwich is at the time, and we're trying to scarf it down. It's impossible.
Cookies and all kinds of stuff.
Cookies,
normally.
Pies.
Maybe some pies.
Yeah. Those pies are great when you get them on a cold night. Yeah. We appreciate them.
All right.
Anyways.
So let's go to the Alliance. We've already got here on
I
the,
am still confused about this dang thing.
What did
it accomplish yesterday?
We have already got a...
what's that?
Couple of names on my text for what we should call this Alliance. Super Friends or the Justice League, either one of those.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it is. Reading through it, it's kind of weird because it's Pac-10, Big Ten, Pac-12, and ACC.
Yeah.
And it seems like two of those three have the same goals in mind, and the other one's just kind of there. I'm not sure what the ACC's point is here in being involved, other than They didn't have anywhere else to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand, like, Big Ten, Pac-12, they're you know, hitched together with the Rose Bowl that we talked about yesterday.
Right, right.
And, you know, they're the ones it's weird because everybody's got a little different. So, like, the Big Ten is, I think most people would think, the second most powerful conference in the country.
I could agree there.
And it almost feels like they're just pulling these other two along a little bit, playing big brother. And they, you know, they're going to, you know, hold their nose up in the air academically to some of these schools, which is why, and the sound we're going to hear in just a second with Dave Wannstedt makes sense because mm-hmm. of the two schools that are supposedly going there.
Rumored.
Yeah, they qualify those academic requirements. Pac-12 is trying to do that, but also Mr. Kliakov, the new commissioner, is really trying to push being competitive in football, which I don't blame him. He haven't made the playoffs since, what, 2016?
Well, that's why they hired him, right?
Right.
And so I don't blame him.
You understand that. It's like everybody with these three schools, with all the different issues that are floating around, they're not joined at the hip on any of them, all three. Because the ACC's not having any trouble in football. They've got Clemson.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten really isn't either, with Ohio State and, you know, every now and then a Penn State or
Wisconsin or
Michigan, yeah, or whoever will jump up. Pac-12 is really the one having the trouble with the football, but they also seem...
I mean, their champions have consistently had three losses.
Yeah.
Or you know, around that, two or three losses, mm-hmm. and it's completely unimpressive. No one's talking about them by mid-October to be in the playoffs.
And so they're the ones that really need the help football-wise, and so they would be the ones that could benefit from... I don't know, Oklahoma State joining their conference.
Absolutely.
But then there's the academic pool between them and the Big 12, the Big Ten, and maybe even a little bit of the ACC at times. Some are, some aren't. And so at the end of the day, there's going to be a scheduling component at some point with this alliance, but no one's going to rip up contracts for games that are already scheduled. So any scheduling agreements here are so far off that they're not even worth talking about.
Right.
And so then at that point, what have you really got? And to be quite honest, really nothing. Outside of having this alliance to vote the same way when it comes to the college football playoff and the expansion that's going to, you know, the meetings that are going to take place at the end of September. Now, both Kevin Warren, who is the new Big Ten commissioner, and also Kliakov, the Pac-12 guy, they both said they are for expanding the playoff, but want to discuss certain areas on the periphery, which is obvious what that is.
Right.
I called it yesterday, pat myself on the back. This is all about making sure that those three conferences have a seat at the automatic berth table into the playoff.
Despite their ranking or
that's
record.
Right.
If they're a conference champ, they want in.
They are in. Yeah. That's what this is all about.
Because they saw the writing on the wall at the SEC that, my goodness, the SEC could put six teams in on a good year.
That's what they're afraid of, is if their conference champ doesn't fall into the top six ranked conference champs throughout college football, meaning what it will be or Power Five, I guess, and then the little guys.
Yeah.
Which last year they wouldn't have.
Right.
Pac-12 would have been left out because the two smaller schools with Cincinnati and with Coastal Carolina would have been in the top six. Pac-12 was out.
Doesn't this feel just the way of the culture that we live in?
And that's
everybody gets the participation
right.
ribbon.
And then
like, we gotta apologize for the Pac-12 being bad at football,
and then
that's our fault.
But
I mean,
see,
rest of the country.
Here's the thing,
12,
though. Here's
SEC.
The thing, though. If when they start ranking them, the thing that they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
they're going to the committee is going to collude against having two of those small ones. I guarantee you, Coastal Carolina, in the situation where it's the top six highest ranked, wouldn't have been one of the top six.
Right.
The Pac-12 school, whoever wins, would have been there. It's just the way it works to try to keep those guys out. And so, I mean, honestly, if I'm one of the non-Power Five leagues, I'm voting against what this alliance is trying to do. Because if they get this done, now we don't know exactly what the Big 12 is going to be. I mean, moving forward, whether or not it's going to be a league, whether or not that's going to have one of the, you know, there might be four power fours,
yeah,
and then two spots open. So in that scenario, it doesn't really matter. But if there's going to be five power fives the way it has been and one spot left over, if I'm some of those little guys, I don't vote for that, guaranteeing those conferences the way that that alliance wants it to happen, because last year's the perfect example why.
Right, right. That would diminish their chances. Absolutely. Yeah. But it seems like this alliance, it's just snowballing that way. It's just going to roll that way.
Now, so the biggest thing that came out of yesterday,
yeah,
to me, it
went kind of under the radar, but yeah, I'm with you on this.
Kliakoff said what he said. He said by the end of the week, they would have an announcement as to their decision on expansion. It didn't go any more in-depth than that. Does it mean we would know who the teams are Friday? It's hard to say yes, but you never know. I think this is more of a yes or no question. But in the midst of all that happening, up in Chicago on a radio station, Dave Wannstedt, who is affiliated with Fox, had this to say.
Oh.
Talking and
wrong one. Hang on.
I was told I was at the Fox meetings in L.A., or I'm sorry, in Phoenix a week ago, and we were talking, and a lot of the Big Ten people were all there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the Big 12, and you hit it, Molly, right on the head. The Big 12, we know that Oklahoma and Texas are gone. And for any of our listeners, you know, it sounds like Oklahoma State and Kansas State are going to the Pac-12, so that's done. It sounds like West Virginia is going to end up in the ACC, which would make sense with Virginia, Pitt, everybody there. And it sounds like Iowa State and Kansas are going to join. They're the two schools that are going to probably join the Big Ten here locally.
Wow.
And so it's, you know, there'll be a few schools, the Holy Texas cow. Techs and TCUs.
He goes on to say Texas Tech, TCU's left out. Really interesting to me that, A, it's just two going to the Pac-12, meaning they only get to 14.
Yeah.
And, B, that it's Kansas State joining Oklahoma State instead of Tech or one of those schools in Texas to get a footprint into Texas.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, and plus – geography-wise, it makes more sense. Texas Tech out there in West Texas, that feels like a natural fit for the Arizonas, even Colorado. You know, Oklahoma State, it's clear. I mean, that's a good landing spot for them. I think any spot's a good landing spot for them, but I think Pac-12's a great landing spot for them. We've been saying that for weeks. But, yeah, I was thinking, that was the first thing that came to my mind, was why Kansas State over Tech? If you felt like Kansas State more natural up north, I don't know. So, but
did you know that Texas Tech is the biggest school in Texas?
No.
That's what I heard this morning driving in.
Like
enrollment.
Like campus is big? Or
enrollment. And it has the most students of any school in Texas.
That's surprising to me. I would have never known that.
I wouldn't have either.
You would have easily went to either Texas or A&M as being
I would have for sure.
Enrolled.
Let's see if they were right.
That is shocking. I've always...
Yeah, wrong.
Yeah, who said that?
It was the guys this morning when I was driving in.
Oh, come on, guys. That doesn't feel
see,
like...
that's why you didn't know it, because it's not right.
It's not right.
That didn't make sense to me either, but...
Is it Texas or is it A&M?
Lone Star College System.
That's a college?
I don't know what it is. It's a system.
Okay.
A&M University.
Well, I wonder, is it one of those online schools?
Maybe.
And they have a ton of people who just stay home and take
I mean, this
courses?
Says UTA is bigger than Texas Tech.
See, I just, that makes more sense because of where Texas Tech is at. You know, I'm sure they have a large enrollment. They clearly have to, but based on their location, if Texas Tech was, say, in Dallas, then one could argue that would be true, but not out in Lubbock.
Well, you'd think you're drawing from the entire panhandle, but that's still not as many people that are in Houston.
No.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
So back to the point, though. I'm surprised. And then I'm surprised they're only taking two. But maybe we're only talking about they're only taking two Big 12 teams. Maybe they're looking at Boise State. Maybe looking at BYU.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to head, is if they're only taking two Big 12s, you would doubt that they would stop at 14. So who is it? Is it San Diego State?
Yeah.
Is it Boise State? Is it Colorado State? You know, what is out there? You know, it could be
almost anybody.
But it
makes more sense to get into a location that you're not in.
Yeah,
Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas. I get that, but, you know, what brings more cachet to your conference? You know, Boise State in the Pac-12 is intriguing to me. BYU in the Big or the Pac-12 is intriguing to me. And I don't know if Kansas State is, but you know, I don't know. And it seems weird. Isn't it so weird? The Oklahoma schools clearly splitting up. The Kansas schools look like they're splitting up. That's so odd to me.
Yeah, and then the two Texas schools reuniting. And it feels so good.
Does it feel good? Feels good for one school.
The last thing I would say about the Pac-12.
Poor Baylor, man.
Well, Baylor and
TCU.
And that we've heard, and Wanstead, I guess, validates this. Now, he's saying this like he knows.
Yeah, he's
like a report.
Listen,
almost.
When a guy can support a mustache like that, he's confident.
He's got some people in his corner. For the Pac-12, it does make sense to come this way, and here's why. Getting that third time zone.
Yeah.
And so you can play, instead of having to play those 9:30 central time games,
right,
which is 10:30 on the East Coast, you can get to the 7 o'clock central,
right,
5 o'clock on the West Coast, and there's just 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and get more exposure to the good teams, the good players in the event of a Heisman race of that nature. And so it makes a ton of sense for them to get here. To get that third time zone, just from a TV watching ease standpoint for people on the East Coast.
And OSU fans, I would be ecstatic about this. Absolutely, you know, I know their hearts were broke with how it went down with OU leaving us to go to the SEC. But the Pac-12, I mean, that imagine USC coming to town on a Saturday afternoon, or UCLA or Oregon coming in the town. And it's a chance to, you know, listen, you beat some of those teams, you're going to get a lot of attention. I love it. I love that. And then I've been vocal about the other sports too. I think it's a good fit basketball-wise. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
Yeah, and like I said yesterday, no team in the Pac-12 has won more games in the last 5 years than Oklahoma State. Only Stanford has won more games in the last decade than Oklahoma State, 96-93 there. So it's not like you're going into a place where you don't feel like you compete football-wise. I mean, it's pretty easy to say – and you can make a great argument that at least right now, at this time, point in time, right this second, Oklahoma State's been the best program in the Pac-12 if they join it, you know, over a decade or so. It makes a lot of sense, and I know there's going to be one, maybe two of those late night games.
What's going to happen on road trips?
Every now and then.
You're going to get them.
But the reward definitely outweighs the cost. And, oh, by the way, the money's going to be higher, and you're not going to have to be – in a diluted Big 12 with teams that you really don't want to be in a conference with.
And I'll say this from experience, going to the Rose Bowl as the sun sets to watch a game is fantastic. I wish I could do that every other year. I wish you might have that opportunity.
Yeah, once every three.
Yeah, however it shakes out.
Yeah, as you can see, the pod system definitely being in play. So.
Yeah.
Possibly good news. And listen,
I hear Northwest is very pretty in the fall.
Yeah, that's the only problem. What would have been really cool road trips 20 years ago? Sorry about your luck. I wouldn't be headed to Oregon this time of year. Let's get to on-the-field stuff. What do you say?
I would love that.
On-the-field stuff for college
10 football. Days away, I think we should maybe focus more on that.
At the field, I mentioned this yesterday, and I have a question for everybody out there. Because I know where we live, there is definite hesitancy by some folks when it comes to the vaccine. I get it. I'm one of them. So yesterday, LSU announced that they would be requiring proof of vaccine or a negative test conducted in the 72 hours prior to a game there at Baton Rouge in order for you to attend. Here's my question. If that same thing happened in Norman or Stillwater, would that...
First game it is.
Huh?
Norman.
What?
I'm You have not seen this?
Since when was that? I have not seen that.
A couple weeks ago, man.
They're requiring proof of vaccine in Norman?
For the first game, at least.
That's news to me. That slipped right by me. Because to my knowledge, this was the first school in kind of the South to announce this was LSU.
Let me double check that. Okay. As of 2 weeks ago.
It's at Tulane. It's a home. It's a away game.
Oh, season opener.
Yeah. It's at, at Tulane.
I read that wrong then.
I got
my apologies.
Okay. I was going to say, wait a minute.
Apologies.
I hadn't heard about that in Norman. Yeah, that is right. At
well,
Tulane. Which it's in the
so
same state.
We're so used to being the opener being at home.
That's right.
You know, okay.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that is right, at Tulane, which is
in
Louisiana.
That is in Louisiana.
Which is the same place this is happening. So my question is this. If it was required of you, would that affect your decision to go or not?
Me, personally?
Yep.
Well, I've been.
You've been vaccinated, so you don't really count.
That really doesn't matter to me.
What about you guys out there? If you haven't had it,
here's the problem.
Does that make you want to go?
Not the problem, but here's the deal. What happens when something gets FDA approved? You know, that opened up a lot of doors too.
That's why Ohio State mandated their students having requiring.
Yeah, it's like say, hey, you know, when you enroll your kid to school, say we need to see your shot record.
Yeah.
You know, so when these vaccines are getting FDA approved, you'll see more of this. And listen, I mean, and that was.
And one could almost say that this is a way for the government to overreach without overreaching.
Well,
because they
couldn't
get that
done. But they've
been
doing this for decades with, like I said, shot records. And you can't enroll in this school until, you know, present your birth certificate and your shot record. And we need to know if you're vaccinated against TB and everything else. And this is going to fall underneath that umbrella. I know personally, I won't say a name, but that was a person that was very hesitant on the vaccine once it became FDA approved. They went and got it. That's all they were waiting on. So, but again, back to your question. Let's say I wasn't vaccinated. And it's an incredible way to incite people to go get it, because if you're a huge football fan, you're telling somebody you can't enter the doors, you can't walk through these gates unless you show us that card.
That's right.
People are gonna go fine.
Are they?
I want to go, Tigers.
Are they?
More than not. I promise you, because the rabid fan base and
what about
LSU.
What about for those fans that bought season tickets back in the spring when they were assured none of this was going to take place?
Were they guaranteed that?
Yes,
though?
They were.
In
the writing, it was. I heard a couple of calls yesterday on another show that
I
said,
wonder if they could sue.
I do too. I don't know if it'd be worth it suing over what your cost of your tickets was, but
yeah.
It's interesting how this is all going to play out, because they were assured full attendance and no mandates when they signed up and paid for their season tickets, according to two LSU season ticket holders,
right?
Who were fairly upset about what had happened. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting,
I
think with the FDA approval, as you talked about, this is going to be a choice that's going to have to be made all across the country.
Trying to put you in a corner, but I mean, are you comfortable with FDA approved stuff? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, the flu shot's FDA approved. How good is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gives you protection, but it's not 100%. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
here's the thing.
Nothing's guaranteed. Look,
I don't know. I mean, this didn't go through the normal process.
Yeah.
And there's reason for that, obviously, because of the time constraints and the time crunch that's been put on this. It's just, you know, we've got all these, we've got tons and tons and tons of research for the vaccines you're talking about that you have to have to get into schools. That's years and years and years and years and years of study.
Yeah.
And years of seeing what happens side effect wise and on, you know, it's not the case.
I wonder if they got
it's two totally different things.
No, I understand. I wonder if they got comfortable to a point where they did enough study to a point with this Pfizer vaccine to get it FDA approved, but they're still going to work on it to make it more effective, safe. But they got comfortable to a point like, okay, based on the studies that up to this point, we can green light this for approval. But Pfizer doesn't mean you don't need to sit back and rest and say, okay, our job is done.
You would like to think that.
You know, vaccines are changing all the time. The flu changes all the time.
That's
so
right.
They consistently have to change a vaccine.
They have to change it all the time.
So this is just the new normal. And, you know, we've been very vocal about that. It's like, this is here, and it's always going to be here, and we got to learn to live with it.
Yeah, I mean,
it shouldn't shut down America again, Ms. Harris. It should. We just got to learn to live with it.
Well, and it won't now because of the approval that was rushed through. It's going to be allowed to be pushed on you. And so people like your...
By the way, we need to be doing our Christmas shopping now, apparently, yeah, according to our vice president.
I mean, just saying, now that that it's been FDA approved, corporations all over the country are going to start mandating their people have it. And no offense, the hospitals that have done that, now they're whining about not having enough beds. You know why? It's not the beds. You don't have enough people to work because you ran them off.
True.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Should have talked about the NFL COVID policy right now as we're going. But let's go to questions on the field. I started with just the Big 12.
Okay.
To me, the biggest question in the Big 12 is this. Who is going to step up and be the challenger to the throne that OU's been sitting on for the last 6 years?
Well, the clear answer is Iowa State.
Is it really, though?
Well, with everybody there returning, I mean, they're sprinkled with preseason All-Americans, according to the latest AP preseason All-American team. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be the contender. But, you know, with that game, OU-Iowa State in Norman, you could argue, I mean, they host TCU. You could argue them going to Bedlam, I mean, going to OSU. I mean, OSU always flies under the radar, and when that happens, they always seem to surprise. So I could see them being a contender. But listen, the clear answer is Iowa State. I mean, if I'm taking a test, I'm going for the highest percentage of get the highest grade with the answer. So I'll go with Iowa State.
If that's the case, it'll be the first time since 2015. Because I believe that OU-OSU game in Stillwater in 2015 would have been the conference title game. I know the next year in Norman was. So it would be the first time since then that it would have been the same opponent in back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. 16, it was OSU, 17, TCU, 18, Texas, 19, Baylor, 20, Iowa State. It does feel like there's somebody always pops up.
To try to.
And ends up in the conference title game alongside OU. You know, OSU was in the same seat a year ago right now that Iowa State's in. They were the presumed team to have a chance to knock off OU and play in that conference title game.
Yeah, there's a lot of people putting them in the title.
I mean, just with what they had coming back, similar to what Iowa State is this year. I think Oklahoma State has a great chance to be that team. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, it all comes down, and we talked about this with Jim on Monday. It's hard to put this all on one player, but it really is. The OSU success of the season hinges on Spencer Sanders. Not entirely, but almost entirely.
I agree.
I mean, he is the most important player to his team in the Big 12.
You lost your best wide receiver. You lost your best running back.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, last year he wasn't the best running back, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he is thrown in the crowds and not take care of the football and taking unnecessarily smart sacks, I mean, yeah, if he can just improve his play, because the skill set is there, just seems like he forces things too much. And that, I mean, I'm agreeing, but it seems like an easy answer to a team is, well, isn't that what everybody goes towards? Is,
oh, sure.
How good is your quarterback?
Sure it is.
You know, it's the same reason why everybody thinks OU could possibly take that next step forward, because the timing is right, because Alabama, breaking in new quarterback. Clemson, new quarterback. Ohio State, new quarterback. Georgia, new quarterback, kind of. So, yeah, it all hinges on him. I completely agree.
All right, what do you got? You got a question? Or you want me to keep asking them?
Is the hype for the OU defense real? How many times we go into a season, I think maybe this is the year OU can turn around on defense and get dominant again, because that's all they've lacked. And we've heard a lot about their defense that's going into this year. Is it for real?
It was much better. The defense was much better last year.
Clearly it was better, but now it's to a point, you got guys on, like I said, AP All-American team, different preseason All-American teams. Is it for real?
I mean, Ty McShay had two defenders in the top 32 of next year's draft, which would mean two first-round draft picks. I think if it is, that's why. Because there's better players.
Yeah.
They've recruited better talent over the past 4 or 5 years, and it's now starting to show. You know, you didn't see a bunch of Ronnie Perkins and Perrion Winfrey's, and I realize Perkins is gone, but the point is you didn't see those guys on the defensive line. You get Jalen Redmond back, who everybody has thought was going to be an absolute stud since he walked on campus. Nick Benito, by the analytics and the numbers, was the best pass rusher in college football last year. That wasn't happening in 2017 and 2018 when all Oklahoma needed was a defense with a friggin' pulse to be able to win the title.
Yeah.
I don't know how – I'm not sitting here going to say dominant. What does that mean?
Oh, well, that's
– You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what that means. But if you're asking can they be a top 20 defense nationally, I think so. I think they were right on the cusp of that last year, if not there. I mean – and you've got guys, the one place that still concerns, and a big part of it is because it's the same guys back there, is safeties. How good are Pat Fields and DeLaron Turner Yell? And is that a sign of the other guys that were highly recruited? Have those guys just gotten better, or were the recruited guys not as good as we thought and they can't get past them on the depth chart? Because to me, I think you've got the corners, Woody Washington. It's the first guy that looks like what you see on the good defenses at corner that Oklahoma's had in forever. Big, fast, strong. He just looks the part. And by the way, played fantastic.
Great hands.
DJ Graham is the same way. He is coming to his own. And then we'll see in that slot nickel position. Trey Norwood ended up being really good at that last year. Is it Bowman, the true freshman? Is it Jeremiah Crudell? Who is it? It's not Buki, which ought to be happy for everybody that likes OU. I don't know what dominant, but I think they can be a top 20 defense. And if they are, and Rattler continues to improve from what we saw at the end of the year last year, watch out.
Look out.
This is really a team that has a chance. What about Texas? What are your thoughts about Texas?
I was reading a lot of stuff lately from the Texas side of message boards, trying to get a feel of how their fan base feels. Now, listen, you could take that with a grain of salt because some of it is just incredible optimism, new coach, new quarterback, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of it was, and I was surprised by this, was a more realistic approach to, listen, this isn't going to change overnight. So, and then, you know, I think it's very concerning if you're a Texas fan that they have not named a starting quarterback yet. I expect, you know, 7-8 win season, something like that. And just about where everybody expects them when you see them in preseason polls around the top 3-4 spot in the Big 12. And what's crazy is a lot of Texas fans expect that, but they expect year 2, 3, 4 in the Sarkisian era as being the leap forward for them to get back to, Texas is back. But right now, as far as this year, that's what I expect. Now, you know, they're probably will win a game they should win and lose a game they shouldn't lose, and they're going to play OU tough because they always do in the Cotton Bowl. It's a crazy game. And I like Sarkisian a lot, and I think he's the right fit for that job, but I just hope they give him time. But as far as this year is concerned, just like I said, a 7-8 win season.
Okay, so they were 7-3 last year.
Right.
And what a crazy season it was to get there.
Oh, they had – I mean – did you read what Phil Steele said about him?
I haven't got to him.
It is amazing. He pointed something out that I failed to notice. They were like 3 plays away from basically being 9-1. I think.
I'm guessing you can make that for being 10-0.
To TCU,
they fumbled on the goal line.
Uh, how many times in OU there's, you know, in those overtimes, there's one play away. And there's another, I think.
Iowa State, they lost 23-20.
Iowa State, yes. But he said on the other side of the coin, they were dangerously being close to being 5-5.
They never should have won that Texas Tech game, if you remember how that happened.
Right.
With the onside kicks and the craziness that was.
Right.
I mean, they were dead and gone. They were buried.
Yeah.
And they pulled that one out of the fire. Beat Oklahoma State in overtime.
Yeah.
41-34. Beat West Virginia 17-13. Yeah, I mean, really and truly, the law of averages probably ended up about average.
Yeah.
At 7-3. You know, you won a couple of games you shouldn't have. You lost a couple of games you probably should have. You know, probably shouldn't have. So it kind of evened out. But if you want to have that glass half full, you could. You could say, man, they were like 3 or 4 plays away from 10-0.
Yeah.
And if you want to have in the glass half empty, you're thinking, we're probably 3 or 4 plays away from being 4-6.
I think that's what Texas saw, too, is, okay, let's switch it up coaching-wise because we're that close to winning some of those games that we lost. Maybe a new coach at the right time with developing a new quarterback, a young guy, and then letting him do his recruiting. I think that was a bigger decision why they moved on from Herman and went with a proven guy in Sarkisian, or give him another chance. So
yeah, I wouldn't say proven.
I wouldn't say proven, but another chance. But like I said, I think they are going to be like a 7-8 win team, and people are going to knock them for it. But the realist in me, like, you know, look out for them because I think in a couple of years they could be really right up there with the OU in the conference.
I think we're going to – well, it would be a different conference, Jared.
Well, whatever conference we're in.
I think we'll know pretty early. You know, that Louisiana game looms.
That's no cupcake, man.
Start out the season. Yeah. And then at Arkansas. If they can get by those two, I mean, you're looking at 4-0 headed to TCU the week before the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the hype train is rolling down the tracks if that can end up being an undefeated matchup in the Cotton Bowl.
If they lose two of those, then you're – and then TCU, a lot of people like, too.
Here's what you're yelling if they lose both of them. Why the hell did we fire Herman?
Yeah.
Which, how about this? I got one. I think Tom Herman's a better football coach than Steve Sarkisian as a head coach. I think they downgraded.
A little bit of a hot take. Okay.
I mean, Tom Herman was pretty damn successful there.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to what was going on before he got there.
Yeah, before. He's better than Charlie Strong, better than
7-6, yeah. 10-4, 8-5, 7-3.
Yeah.
Know what was going on before that? 5-7, 5-7, 6-7, and then now we're back to Max last season at 8-5.
Yeah. Question about, I'll stay with Texas. Will they play just one quarterback this year, or will they get a little rotation going?
See, that's, you said that earlier about not
knowing
the quarterback yet. Normally when that happens, it's not because both of them have been so great that you can't decide. Normally it's because nobody's taken that step forward to decide. So
it looks to look like Thompson was the clear front runner after that bowl win.
That's where I'm going to answer your question this way. I think they will early just to see who plays when the lights come on.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you could probably, without knowing a thing, you could probably sit here and go, well, maybe Casey Thompson's not playing in practice like they saw him play in the game, and so they're a little hesitant. Or maybe it's, you know, with Hudson Card, maybe they want to see him under the lights before they decide.
Others could argue in that game that – help me, who'd they play?
Utah, wasn't it?
Yes. One could argue that Utah didn't even prepare for Casey Thompson. Totally different skill set compared to Ellinger.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? They had no idea about this kid. They didn't prepare for him. Like, oh, this is Ellinger. This is his swan song. That's the only guy we got to prepare for.
Listen, I'm on record as saying whoever the quarterback is this year, they're going to be more dangerous.
Absolutely.
Than what Ellinger was. Ellinger was just what he was. He was a good college football player that could run the football, and he was a little bit limited in the throw game. And you need something different than that right now down there. And so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will.
All right, we better take a break. That's where we're going. Questions, asking each other questions. Colorado, not Utah.
Yeah, that's right. Utah wound up. I can't think. Yeah, it was Colorado. I thought it was Colorado.
Utah was the year before.
That's right.
I want to ask one of these questions about nationally. Or do you want to? Are we done with vaccine talk today?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll talk about the COVID policy of the NFL tomorrow.
Okay.
How ridiculous
Looking
it is.
Looking forward to it.
How ridiculous it is. Nationally. My question for you is this. And I put four teams here. There's probably more. Notre Dame probably could be in this list as well. But I put four from the polls. Which team's new quarterback will propel their team the most? You got Bryce Young at Bama. Haynes King was just announced a starter today at A&M. Clemson's DJ Uiagalelei and Ohio State's CJ Stroud.
I'll say Clemson because he started how many games last year?
One or two
for an injured
at
Lawrence.
South Bend. Well, COVID. Wasn't he had COVID, didn't he?
Lawrence did?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Exposed or had it?
Yeah. Had it.
Injured, whatever.
He wasn't sick, yeah. But he had it.
Because he has a little experience, so I'll go with him. But you can almost say who at Bama?
Bryce Young.
You can almost say him because he's at Bama. You know, they just seem to rotate him in. That's thanks in large part to good recruiting. You know, falls into whatever Saban system is using. Who's the offensive coordinator now?
Bill O'Brien's down there, the former coach at the
yeah. Anyways, I'll stay with DJ, and that's what I'll only call him all year because I'm not even going to try to say his last name.
Ukulele.
That's the best I can do.
Bill O'Brien.
Is it Bill O'Brien?
Offense coordinator and quarterbacks coach.
Very good. Yeah, that's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. How about you?
I think it's got to be right.
Because he has the limited experience.
29 of 44 for 439 and two touchdowns, no picks.
Not bad.
In that game at South Bend in which Clemson did lose in double overtime.
Still, I'd
47 to 40. I wonder, let me look here. I just saw I'll even take this a step further than just picking him as going to be. I think he might be one heck of a bet to win the Heisman Trophy from a odds standpoint.
Was he third?
Don't see. He's not. I've got this list on ESPN. Most money bet, biggest bets. It's pretty interesting.
For all you gambling degenerates out there, here you go.
The notable bets. Somebody put
and we're one of them. Don't kid yourself.
Somebody put $1,500 on Kansas over 1.5 wins.
Wow.
Somebody also put $20 on Kansas to win the national title at 5,000 to 1 odds. Think it's the same person?
Yeah. If you're spending that much on one bet, why not another 20?
There's a $70,000 bet on Fresno State over 6 wins. $20,000 on Arizona State over 8.5 wins. Matt Corral. Ole Miss quarterback, 3,500 to win the Heisman at 50 to 1. $4,000 bet on Texas A&M to win the national title at 40 to 1. $1,500 to TCU to win the Big 12 at 28-1. That's a pretty good bet. 28 to 1.
That's not a horrible idea.
Don't you think if the season's played 28 times, TCU wins the Big 12 at least once?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Again, everyone's kind of picking them as their Cinderella of the Big 12.
$10 for Kansas to win the national title at 10,000 to 1 odds. That's got to be the same person that bet $30 to win $300,000.
Yeah.
The most bets for the national title?
To win it?
To win the national title, the most bets, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, Bama, A&M. The most money? Same. UCLA.
So the money's on OU.
The most bets the most money is on those five teams.
In no order?
It's got it. Yeah, OU, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas A&M.
Wow.
On the money side, most bets is Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. National title notes at the Superbook at Westgate, Las Vegas. The biggest liability that the casino has is? UCLA.
Okay, why? Explain that to me.
Just with the odds, the amount of money that they would have to pay out
if UCLA wins a national title.
Yes, UCLA is their biggest liability. At BetMGM, Oklahoma is the biggest liability. At Circa Sports, Tennessee is the biggest liability. And then a note here, Oklahoma and Alabama account for more than 50% of the money that's been wagered on sportsbooks' point bets odds to win the national title. Most bets for the Heisman. Rattler, C.J. Stroud of Ohio State second, J.T. Daniels third at quarterback from Georgia, Texas running back Bijan Robinson, and Cincinnati quarterback Desmond Ridder. Most money, Rattler, Stroud, Robinson, J.T. Daniels, and this one's a little bit shocking. Casey Thompson.
Okay.
He's not even the quarterback.
Not the quarterback, but at a big program.
Yeah.
First-year head coach.
You can see where it
makes
sense.
There's a lot of unknowns.
And I bet it's huge odds, too.
Yeah.
And then conference title notes. As of Tuesday, at Points Bet, nobody had bet a single dollar on Penn State at 8-1 to win the Big Ten title. Who do you think's garnering the most bets and the most money to win the SEC?
Alabama.
Georgia. Georgia's plus 225. Bama's probably minus. So you have to bet like 170 to win 100 for Bama, something in that, or 120 or something like
that. Well, yeah, you want the bigger payout.
Interesting betting stuff. I wonder what, but seriously though, DJ Uiagalelei, I wonder what his, I need to find that. See what his Heisman odds are.
Yeah.
So I bet they're pretty decent.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
A pretty decent return on some money.
Because people have seen a little bit more of him than these other guys.
But not enough to make his odds like in the Rattler range.
Right. Right.
More in the, I bet he's in the teens to 20 to 1, somewhere in there.
Wouldn't be a bad bet.
I don't think so either. We'll continue asking questions. Mark Rogers, 9:30 tomorrow, high school football and some other stuff. And then John Lee from Pampa on Friday. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.